We're going to cross to Jerusalem and speak to Craig Pantanowitz, the national chairperson of the South African Zionist Fed. Why am I talking to Craig? Because the 39th World Zionist Congress, I think it's in session, isn't it, Craig?
It is in session, Simon. Good evening to you from an absolutely glorious Jerusalem, and to all of the listeners, good evening.
So let's dive into this 39th World Zionist Congress, Craig. What a time, what a period to be discussing these important issues. What are they hoping to achieve?
So, Simon, it's been a very interesting experience. This is my first World Zionist Congress that I've had the opportunity to attend. Yeah. And I can tell you that it is much bigger than I anticipated it would be. 2,500 delegates from around the world, all at the Convention Center in Jerusalem. And, Simon, the conference is much bigger, wider than I was expecting. We had an amazing address last night by President Herzog, who came to speak to the delegates. And I guess that, as you say, it's a really opportune moment for all of those around the world who care about Israel, who see themselves as Zionists, coming together to try and plan a new day for Israel, a new day for Jews, and hopefully, as you just said in the previous piece, a new day with a new lasting peace. And Simon, I can tell you that there have been many, many sessions throughout yesterday and today discussing what's going on globally with Jewry, what's going on in the various areas where Jews live around the world and what they're facing, from anti-Semitism to anti-Zionism, and trying to come up with some constructive ideas on how to deal with that. And as we speak right now, the sessions have just gone in, or many of the delegates are voting for new WZO, so World Zionist Organization leadership, who's going to carry the organization for the next 5 years. And I can tell you, Simon, that it felt a lot to me like being in the halls of Congress in America, where there is lobbying going on,
So we're playing politics even in a situation, a crisis situation like this. It's still going on, the behind-the-scenes politics.
Simon, it was an eye-opener for me. I didn't expect that, but yes, to be honest, that's exactly what it is. Okay. And there is lobbying going on, and people are voting, and obviously, alongside the very important that the decisions that are being made to carry World Jewry forward, you know, it's business, Simon, and budgets are allocated, etc., according to the various factions that win. And there is a lot of but there's a lot at stake here, and the leadership within the WZO in Israel take this very, very seriously.
Are there power plays in terms of like right and left? Are there huge delegations representing different factions? And is that playing out in terms of who's going to be the voice of Zionism for the next 5-10 years?
No question, Simon. So it's something that I'm learning about. So I don't want to talk as if I'm an expert, because I think you've got to come to 10 Zionist congresses to understand what's at play here.
Okay.
Truthfully, but from what I can understand, you know, between the various factions, there's Likud, there's Mizrahi, there are various bunch of other organizations all vying for leadership positions. And that is exactly as you said it. It's to see who's going to lead the Zionist world for the next 5 years. And it permeates all aspects of Israeli society. You know, it's not just this group that sit together. The World Zionist Organization believe that they have opportunity to perhaps sway Israeli government policy on how do we deal with Jews in our diaspora, what's going on in the diaspora communities, and what's done within Israel that impacts all of these communities around the world. And I found that incredibly interesting, is that for the first time in my experience, I've seen Israel sitting up and going, what happens at home here in Israel has a direct impact on Jews globally. And it's been nice to see that there's a level of responsibility taken, and that there is also some care from the Israeli perspective that we are all in this together. It's not just Israel fighting a war. it is worldwide impact on Jews, and Israel goes to war, and we've seen it, Simon, sadly, but Jews around the world come under attack.
Craig, it's so interesting that you are reinforcing that particular point, because as somebody who listens to many Israeli analysts talk about the current issues, seems to me that post October the 7th, that is one of the big realizations that Israeli Jews have made, is the impact on diaspora communities. And I would imagine to a certain extent, Craig, vice versa. I mean, I would imagine if I'm the Zionist delegate from New York City, I'm kind of hanging my head in a bit of shame thinking that Zoran Mamdani is about to be voted in as mayor of New York City, when I represent a city with the largest Jewish population outside of Tel Aviv. I mean, it's mind-blowing.
I sat last night with some Jews from New York, funnily enough, and they're very concerned, and I think rightly so. But Simon, just to go back one point and to say to you that in my experience, up until now, it's been Jews in the diaspora seeing what they could do for Israel. And I think that this maybe has changed a little bit in that Israel are saying, what do we need to do for our Jews in the diaspora? And that's tremendous, and that's very heartwarming. Mm. And Simon, as you know, and you and I have discussed this, that we are under attack. There is acknowledgement here that this is the lived reality on the ground around the world. You know, it's not something that's in pockets in France and in New York only. This is in the UK, this is in Hungary, this is in Latvia. This is something that is being experienced globally, and it's really nice to feel that there is care coming from Israel, and I think it's genuine and it's real, and I think there is absolutely this realization that we are all in this together. And Simon, I can't stress the point more strongly, but we need to have a strong diaspora, and we need to have a strong Israel. And I think the two go hand in hand. And I think that Israel also realized and acknowledged that when the war started, many communities globally stepped up to help Israel to do what needed to be done, from a support perspective. You know, food was being cooked in Israel for soldiers, for people that were returning from the war. And, you know, these are communities globally that have come together to support Israel in this effort. And I think that this is a relationship, and that's why Congress like this is so critical, is it brings all of the stakeholders together, puts 2,500 people in a room, and you can't imagine the balagan.
So it's interesting to me that you actually think the Israelis care. I mean, I hope you're right. With every fiber of my being, I hope you're right. But in my mind, you could make the argument that 2,500 delegates have arrived. They're going to have certain decisions, take certain decisions. They're going to leave. Are the Israelis going to do anything about it? And I'll tell you what strikes me as such a failing, that As at today, the Israeli government does still not have a diaspora spokesman who can talk to us in our language that we need to be spoken to. And I just, I'm thinking back to somebody like Elon Levy. He should never have lost his job, ever. We needed him over the last 2 years.
An absolute travesty. Simon, Israel are not without blemishes. They don't get everything right all the time. And when things are wrong, we need to understand, and as any relationship, any family, you can have arguments, you can have disagreements. And the nice thing is that I think they're hearing. I can't promise you that there's going to be tangible change, but at least the right things are being said. From that, you know, if you can sow the seed, perhaps we can improve things going forward. And you know, this has been an incredibly difficult war on every single front. And I think if I had to give you a sense of the feeling on the ground here amongst the delegates, but also the multitude of Israelis that I've had the opportunity to speak to, there is this absolute joy that the war has come to an end. But Simon, there is still this...
They're traumatized, Greg.
They're traumatized, but two, there's a terrible anxiety that it's not over, that Hamas are not going to disarm. And as you said earlier, Simon, we saw today a soldier was killed in Gaza. It caused us to retaliate. And I think that there's a collective fear in Israel that we're going to have to go back to fighting. And the general feeling on the ground is one of elation and excitement for potential peace, because I'm yet to meet an Israeli that doesn't want peace. It's really, I haven't met some of the, you know, the right-wing ministers, but on the ground, the general people want peace. They want to live their lives securely, and they don't want war with their neighbors. And so there's this anxious feeling that Hamas are not a reasonable partner for peace, and that they're not going to lay down their arms, and we're going to have to go back to fighting. But as it stands now, the general mood is very, very positive, and the Israeli people are welcoming their soldiers back into society, and it's a beautiful time to be here, Simon.
No, I would imagine. I would imagine being surrounded by like-minded people like that in a time when we are feeling so attacked must be remarkably nourishing for you, Craig.
I feel incredibly privileged that I get the opportunity to come here to meet. You know, this morning I had a session with other Zionist community leaders in a room. We spent an hour and a half discussing, explaining where we come from, what's going on in our home countries. And just to look across the table at the guys in Canada and in France and in the United States, and there's an unspoken understanding. It's wonderful.
I get it.
It is, and I feel incredibly privileged that I have this opportunity. I hope that I can come home and having had the opportunity to make these connections with these people, and we can do something constructive going forward. One, for our communities in the diaspora. Two, for our relations with the other communities that we live in the diaspora, because we still live in the diaspora and we need to be able to function well, peacefully and cohesively, but also maybe with a little bit of a deeper understanding and a connection to the land of Israel, and to also understand some of the traumas that are so ingrained in Israeli society. It's been a long, hard 2 years. I was at Hostage Square a couple of days ago, and to not see a very hectic, bustling Hostage Square was truly a wonderful thing, Simon.
Relief.
To having had been there when the hostages were, or let's not jump the gun, we still have hostages' bodies that are being held, but to have those 20 live hostages all home on Israeli soil, you know, the buzz around Hostage Square slowed down, and that's a fantastic thing, Simon. That's a good thing.
Craig, you've really given us an opportunity this afternoon to experience it and feel it. Thank you for your time. Always a pleasure chatting to you, and look forward to the lessons that you're going to bring home with you.